Mike Podcast, Mental Health for the Culture.
We address real life topics and brainstorm real solutions.
This podcast is meant to be informational and not to serve as a personal counseling session. If you feel that you have some mental health issues that need to be addressed, please find a counselor near you.
Hey, Nedra.
Hey, Kendra T.
How you doing?
I am well.
All right. So let's get into some news in the news. I don't really have anything to really discuss. I was thinking Kanye, but I'm kind of sick of talking about Kanye.
I'm not talking about Kanye. I'm kind of mute.
Well, then there goes that topic.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the Conners TV show, the Roseanne show being revamped into the Conners?
Is it the same thing? Like,
have you tried watching it?
No. Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It started with the new season of shows, the fall season of shows.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know it was on. I'm going to check it out. Like, yeah. I feel like I want to support it because they took this stance against Roseanne and what she was saying. So I kind of feel like I want to support this as a whole thing.
Yeah. And you said you watched Roseanne.
I watched Roseanne.
The first Roseanne and then the revamp.
The revamp Roseanne. I watched a few episodes. I wasn't like committed every week watching it, that sort of thing. But I definitely grew up watching Roseanne and I've liked the show over the years.
Yeah, I did too. I grew up watching Roseanne and then I did watch when it came back. So I've been watching the Conners and I like it better. Just because the character Roseanne, she was a bully, you know what I mean? And so now in bringing her character back in the same way didn't really fit in the time that we are in.
So how did they write her out?
Oh, okay. So when Roseanne first came back, there in the present day, she has a knee issue or something, but they can't afford to get her knee replacement surgery. So she has an addiction to pills, pain pills.
Oh.
And it's an issue last season because, you know, she has pain pills stored around the house.
This was on the show?
Yeah, on the show.
Oh.
Because they're tying in current day issues, you know.
Which the opioid. Mm-hmm. Okay, the opioid crisis.
So in pain pill addiction and abuse. So yeah, so she's addicted to pain pills. She has them stored in the freezer in the pancake box. She's got them stored in
the
bedroom.
She's like a nurse,
here.
Jackie.
She was, yeah, except without the nurse part, like the easy access. Even so much that she had a little co-op in this small town of Lanford that the show is set in, where they would swap pills.
Wow.
So that was a part of the storyline anyway last season. So then when Roseanne made her racist comment and a racist tweet, and I think the season was pretty much done anyway, but they cut the show right then and there and left it at that. So when they brought it back, it is now about 3 weeks post her funeral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They've killed Roseanne.
They killed her off. She gone.
Oh, my God.
And, but, so they made, like, it was an accidental overdose.
Okay.
So, like I said, in the last season, the final season of the Roseanne show, because the Conners is a totally different show, but in the last season of the Roseanne show, Dan said they couldn't afford to get her knees fixed, but he was like, you know what, we need to make it work because you got to get off them pills. You can't keep taking them pills. And so now, in the Conners show, yes, he has gotten the money together. Oh, they had a big flood or something, and they were getting money from FEMA. So I guess they used that. But anyway, he got the knees fixed.
Okay.
So, yeah, so she's dead, and it's just talking about them dealing.
That's not funny, but the way you said it, like, she's it dead. Was kind of funny.
Yeah, I know. Describing somebody as dead always sounds either funny or harsh, I think. And people kind of say it like a past or, you know, for somebody who they love, like they don't really want to say dead,
Not here anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Moved on, transition. Like people don't like to say my loved one is dead. Mm-hmm. Unless it's somebody they didn't really like. But anyway, so yeah, so it's very interesting. But I feel like she was a bully and her character was always a bully. Just always antagonizing everybody. Her Jackie, her sister, her husband, the kids, like, how could anybody even like her?
None of that is happening.
Everybody can shine on their own now that she's not around to just be like, belittle them and make these little comments behind, you know, to them. And so, yeah, I feel like it's better. I think that everybody can shine better now without her there.
Nice.
Not a bad move, ABC.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Good.
Yep. Also in the news, it is almost time to vote. we have the midterm elections coming up, and there's a huge campaign to get people out there to vote. So that's all I wanted to say about that was vote.
Okay.
I do know of someone who is not voting, though.
Really?
Yes. And then trying to...
You've been trying to persuade them to vote?
I have tried. Had a whole discussion. I mean, all the points. And their reasoning is because my vote doesn't really matter. I feel like the government is corrupt. Anyway, it you know, there's so many scandals and backdoor deals happening. This, like, it doesn't matter what
all
we
facts.
As the citizens do. Those are facts. Two mm-hmm. things can be true, though.
True.
You know, there is a lot of political corruption and scandal going on, but there is also an importance with your vote, like your vote matters. So that's what I was trying to drive home with this person.
And you didn't do it.
I don't think so. They did not say, oh, you're right, Kendra T. They said, no.
You know, I feel like, you know, everybody has their own prerogative to do whatever they want. However, if you don't vote, please do not talk to me about any issues that could be considered political. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, you've kind of relinquished that right. But other than that, you know, do what you want to do. But I might say something like, well, did you vote?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that person, you know, that sort of thing. But I completely understand it because I think it's two sides to that coin. In some ways, it is productive to vote. And in other ways, it's like, you know, there's a lot of backdoor deals. And we've all seen Olivia Pope's show.
And they kept referencing things that have happened on Scandal. I'm like, well, you do know Scandal, House of Cards, those are TV shows.
But
they imitates life.
Right, right.
But it is for entertainment, too,
right.
You know? So,
right.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not doubting that any of those things have happened on some scale in our government.
Mm-hmm.
But also the more important point is your local elections really matter more than, say, you know, higher up the food chain, national elections. And
well, it's definitely important to do you. So whether you vote
yeah.
or not, be true to yourself, but be prepared to defend yourself when those people who do vote
mm-hmm.
come for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Defend your position.
And my question is, well, are you doing anything else? If you say there are all these issues, then what's your activism? What are you doing? If you feel like
why
you're not
voting.
Why do
you have to be activists, though?
Well, if you... Okay, I'm talking specifically about this discussion.
Oh, you're
yeah.
with this person.
Yes, this
okay.
person said, well, I don't need to vote because something that they said about whatever else they're doing. I said, okay, well, what else do you do? Like, what do you do then?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not voting and you feel like that is a point of activism that is not for you, then... You mentioned having effects elsewhere. How? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything else. So,
I don't
okay.
really go into deep discussion with people who, and I've known people who didn't vote. I just feel like it's a personal choice. And
it
you,
is.
You have the option to do whatever.
But it's so important
you want to
right
do.
Now.
It's so
election.
Important to you, but I think there are some people
no,
who
no,
really
no.
feel
no.
disempowered by the voting process, and that's why they aren't voting. And some of those things that they are disempowered by are absolutely, you know, true facts, verifiable.
No, it's important to this election.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's. I'm not saying that it's not important.
Yeah.
I'm saying
yeah.
that, you know, it's not.
It sets up voter rights.
They don't feel like what they say will matter. And
yeah.
that, you know.
That's so, valid.
That's valid,
that's
yeah.
That's valid. It's wrong.
Anything
but,
else in
okay.
the news?
Nah, nah, nah. Moving
okay.
on. What are you into, Nedra?
What am I into, i.e. what am I watching? So this month, I have run across two movies that I thought were pretty good. One is on Netflix. It's called The Kindergarten Teacher, and it's with Maggie Gyllenhaal. And she's this teacher, and she has really inappropriate boundaries with this kid who she thinks is a genius. And she goes out of her way to, like, mentor him and nurture him. And so it was very interesting for me to see the dynamic of those blurred boundaries and her, you know, sometimes crossing a line and her putting her story into him and these sorts of things. It was a really good, just random movie that I watched. Another movie that I watched is called Captain Fantastic, and that was on Showtime. I don't know what other platform you could find it on, but...
Captain Fantastic?
Captain Fantastic. Hmm. And I believe it's with Edward Norton, and he is the father of six kids, and he raises them outdoors in the Pacific Northwest, and he raises them in this very... non-traditional way. They have to hunt their food. They wake up and they do these exercise drills. He has them climbing up mountains in the rain. The backstory to this is their mom kind of left them, and something happens in the family, and they have to go back home to their family, who is, you know, like, quote-unquote normal folks who have jobs and regular kids. And this dad is very permissive, and he doesn't believe in lying to kids. And he, you know, he just says things that's just like, oh, I'm drinking wine. You can have some too, three-year-old. It's just, yeah, it's
it'll
just
help you sleep.
Yeah, it's just, you know, liquid of the grapes. Just right. Like, liquid and everybody's grapes. Like, no, this is so juice. Inappropriate. And, you know, he does a series of things, and he starts to see that his very kind of loose way, unstructured way of parenting his kids is sort of harmful in some ways, which I think is really interesting, because I think there are times when parents sort of are neglectful and they don't realize it, but in this movie you get to see him sort of realize it and self-correct. And so the movie was very good in just seeing that transition from, no, this is how we do things, this is why we do things, to him being more open to, you know, just accepting who his kids are and how they have to operate in the world outside of this system he's trying to set up for them that he think is good. So again, I think that movie was kind of about just like boundaries and parenting and structure. And I promise I don't watch all movies about that. It's just like my spirit.
About boundaries or about parenting?
I'm probably finding the boundaries.
Right. Oh yeah.
I'm
the description
finding.
Doesn't say
nothing
that it's about
says
boundaries.
Anything about boundaries, but right. I thought those movies were really good. And of course, Shameless wrapped up.
Yeah.
So I finished up on Shameless. And Ray Donovan is back, which I need to start watching Ray Donovan. I actually put it on my calendar last week, but I had an event. But I'm going to catch up on Ray Donovan probably tonight, because a new episode comes on tomorrow.
She's doing a happy dance.
Happy dance. I really like Ray Donovan. He is so complicated and messy. I love it.
Like Olivia Pope. I mean, that show has been compared
it's
to Scandal
raunchier.
Because he's a fixer, like
he's
her with the
fixer
mess of life.
In Hollywood,
right.
Though. And
right.
Kind of, sometimes he does politics, but he definitely has his own. It
right.
Talks more about his life, like after the first season. His family is like really messy, and he tries to fix them too. And then he has like this sordid background. It's like good stuff.
Yeah.
I really like Ray Donovan. So,
So the guy who plays his brother... Pooch Hall. He plays his brother, right? Mm-hmm. Durin Davis from...
The Game.
The Game, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's in some legal trouble now.
Oh.
He was...
In the news.
In the news, reaching back. He was super drunk, according to my sources. He was super drunk and driving with his two-year-old on his lap, and the two-year-old was driving.
Oh, no. He's like the dad in the movie I was just talking about.
Sounds like it.
Oh, my
now,
God.
I mean, he has...
No, actually, he's like Frank from Shameless.
Right, yes. Yeah. I think he's like, well, look, I can't drive us home safely, so can you do it? I'll just push the gas. But, so he's in some pretty serious trouble with that, because I don't think he hit anybody or anything. Like, nobody got hurt, luckily. But he was super drunk, and the kid was on his lap with him. I mean, according to my sources, which
is married
Wendy,
to the mom?
The kid's mom?
Yeah.
Yes, they are married. They got, like, 3 or 4 kids. One is a special needs. They have a special needs daughter who's older, like, their first child that they had. They've been married for, I mean, he's been married 15 years, like a long time since his youth. And he hasn't had any other issues before. This is the first thing I've ever heard about him personally. So, unfortunately, that's what made it in the news, personally. Are you done with what you're into?
I'm into tons, but go ahead,
I know, right?
Kendra.
Your list can go on forever.
Right.
Well, what I'm into right now, or what I just finished, was the Trevor Noah book, Born a Sin. And it talks about him growing up in South Africa during the end of apartheid. For those who don't know, apartheid was a racist system that was put in place with the government to keep black people separate from white people and separate from the mixed people. And it was a whole construct of laws that, you know, had to be followed by black people more particularly. It kept them very sequestered and segregated into even a specific community of South Africa in the major cities in South Africa. So Trevor Noah was born in the mid-80s. We're about the same age, I mean, so like early mid-80s. And apartheid ended when he was about 10. So when he was born a sin or a crime because his mother's black, his father was white, and it was illegal for people to have interracial relationships. And therefore, you know, kids, which are the product of that sin or that crime. So that's why he is that. And so he talks about his life. It's very interesting. I like Trevor Noah. I have been watching him since right before he got onto The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
So then he was named as the lead host of Daily Show with Trevor Noah. I'm like, okay. But he's a comedian, and he tells a story in a very comedic yet serious way, and he really explains how language says a lot about you, the language that you speak in that system, your education level, race, you know, how he's considered a white man sometimes. You know, sometimes he's considered black, sometimes, you know, so it was a very interesting book. And I heard that it's being made into a movie.
Oh, wow.
And I think he was saying that he called Lupita Nyong'o, like, hey, can you be my mama? So I don't know anything else besides that, but I will definitely check that movie out.
So it was a good book.
It was a good book.
Worth a read.
Yes, in the audiobook, he tells a story, so you hear that nice South African accent while he's saying it. But it's a good accent where you can understand, you know, for an American English ear, you can understand everything that he says. Yes.
What else are you into, Kendra?
So another show I accidentally started watching. You know, I told you how I watch Divorce Court.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And on Hulu, so then the autoplay turned into Who the Bleep Did I Marry, which is some show from one of those ID-like channels.
Uh-huh.
And it's a 30-minute show about with real people telling their real stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually women telling their stories about the men that they've married. And literally, like, they hit that point of who the bleep did I marry? Mm-hmm. That's the whole title of the show. But it's kind of funny because the narrator is narrating in this really light and bubbly voice. And so you think it's more like a satirical type show. Like, it's more light and funny. And then all of a sudden it turns into heavy. Like, she'll be like, Dana had no idea that her new husband was playing lottery behind her back. And then he came and stabbed her twice in the chest and knocked her down the stairs. And she rolled down and her body lay there limp for hours.
Maybe not an affect issue because her facial expression is off, but definitely like some tone issues according to what's actually happening with your feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's the same. It's the narrator episode.
Yeah, I'm going to talk like everything's okay, but she's dead.
She's exactly.
Oh, okay. Where's the inflection?
She lay there slowly bleeding out for hours.
Wow.
But the real people are telling their story. It's one of those cheesy kind of reenactment shows. So I've watched a couple episodes, like, let me check out another one. It's interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
But one interesting point about it, they had Jodi Arias on there.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, you don't watch the news. Jodi Arias was that, you know, once she was the lady who was on trial, I don't know, a couple years ago for killing her boyfriend. And it was a national thing. Like, people were really invested. She had the black hair with the bangs and she
was wearing glasses. Has Lifetime made a movie about it?
I think they did.
Oh, I think I may have seen this.
She had black hair, kind of shoulder length with glasses, and she would be in court just like stone face. You couldn't tell.
Right.
She didn't show any signs of remorse.
Uh-huh.
But she killed her boyfriend, and she denied doing it, of course, but there's all this proof, and people were really invested because, like, she's a battered woman, or maybe she's not, and so he deserved it. No, he was a nice guy. Like, he did it, you know?
I think I remember this. Were they, like, in California or something like
that?
Yes. Okay, yeah.
So the person...
Thank you, Lifetime, for being my news source.
Educator. Mm-hmm. So the person telling the story in this episode was the man who she was allegedly dating. And I think she tried to use him as her alibi. Like, she had killed the guy, Travis or Trevor. She had killed her ex-boyfriend. And then she was supposed to be driving way far to see this guy who she had been communicating with long distance. And so he was saying, you know, she showed up, after, you know, 2 days later than what she was supposed to. She changed her hair. She had cuts on her arm. I thought something was weird about that. So it's told from his perspective. I don't know, he's like, whew, dodge that bullet.
Right.
All right. So let's get to our topic at hand. The Red Table Talks, the TV show on Facebook with Jada Pinkett Smith, her mother, Miss Adrian, I'll just go with that.
Mommy.
Then, yeah, Mommy.
They call her Mommy.
What's the other? Gammy.
Gammy.
Yeah, Grandma, yeah. I guess. And then their daughter Willow's on the show. So the last two episodes featured Will Smith as a guest. Did you watch?
I watched both episodes in preparation for this show.
Yeah, because you don't really watch. You're not into Facebook.
I'm not into Facebook, but I have been watching the Red Table Talks. Yeah. I really like Jada Pinkett. Like,
yeah,
she's,
I do too.
She used to be my favorite actress. So I really like Jada.
What knocked her off of her?
She stopped making movies. Like,
she was raising some kids.
No. Yeah, I mean, I like old school Jada
Low
Pinkett.
Down,
but right,
shame.
Right. She was raising kids. She was doing all this stuff.
Set it
and
off.
So she
Demon
wasn't
Night.
Making.
Yeah.
Ooh, Demon Knight is
Demon
so funny.
Yeah.
But she wasn't, she wasn't making movies. So I had to move on because she did.
Okay. All right.
Same
so,
thing that happened with Lauryn Hill. I have to move on because she didn't.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, okay. So I wanted to, like, let's try it this way. Let's, like, go through some of the points that they made and briefly discuss that, you know.
Okay, cool.
So they
go
told
girl.
Their origin story.
Right.
About how he saw her on TV and felt this instant connection, this energy with her.
Right.
It's like, I need to meet her in person. And then got down to the set of A Different World and said, but wait a minute, who's that? And met his wife, Cherie, first wife, Cherie, ended up marrying her instead and never even met Jada. But he talks about having energy with someone and feeling like you're supposed to be with that person. So he experienced that throughout the short marriage with him and Cherie. And he talked about how he had, you know, him and Jada became friends and they would see each other in passing and they had this really good discussion and he noted and he thought about it like, dang, like I am married to the person I'm not supposed to be with, but I'm not getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And so he just kind of was like, well, I'm just gonna live with that. So it kind of is like a soulmate type of
is that what
feeling.
You take from that?
So that was my question to you.
Mm.
The way they described it is like when he says he feels like there are people who have energy that you're supposed to be with, and not just all in a romantic way. Like mm-hmm. he mentioned DJ Jazzy Jeff as somebody mm-hmm. like we met, like dang, like we're supposed to meet, we're supposed to work together, like we're, you know what I mean? And it
but I
has
think
been a beautiful
with that,
partnership.
With that whole we're supposed to be together, maybe is like at some point, but not right now. And that's mm-hmm. why he met the other person, because that also was supposed to happen.
Right.
And it all happened in the way that it was supposed to, so he could have that one son, so he could learn some things probably about marriage. So he, you know, like, things happen in the way that they're supposed to, even if you want them to happen sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think is, maybe you can have some energy and, you know that, you know, you're supposed to be with this person, but it may not need to be right now. It may need to be at a different time, and it sounds like that's what sort of happened. Like, something intervened, and he met someone else as mm-hmm. he was supposed to, mm-hmm. and, you know, now he's with Jada.
Right. So do you believe in soulmates? Or what do you think about soulmates?
So I believe that we have connections with people, not necessarily love interests, but just with people where we have like this instant sort of they get me sort of feeling. I think it is a rare thing to feel like, oh my gosh, like they get me. Or they really understand this about me. I think a lot of times with dating, people use it in dating to describe only having one person in the whole wide world who understands who they are. I don't necessarily subscribe to it in that way, but I do subscribe to there are some people who you will meet who you just have this particular type of energy with, and you are drawn to them, and there is this instant connection, and kind of like, you know, if there is a such thing as past lives, like you've met this person, like they know you, you know something about them, that sort of feeling. I think that does exist, but I don't think it has to be like a romantic thing. I think it's just like a energetic feeling you have towards people.
Yes, you like to use the word energy.
I love to use the word energy.
Regarding relationships.
I do.
I agree. I think that people kind of use the word soulmate as sort of like a crutch or something, meaning like to justify feeling a certain way about somebody, to justify maybe their infatuation at some points. Like, this is my soulmate, so we're supposed to be together. And no matter what he does. This is my soulmate.
That's the part where it gets tough. Like, no matter what the person does. And I don't know if that's a soulmate or if y'all inmates. It's like, that sounds like a prison ship.
Yeah.
That's not a relationship.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, like, no matter what, I have to take it because we soulmates. I don't think that's how that term works, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think sometimes we try to change it into it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's up to our interpretation.
Yeah, or people will use it as an excuse sometimes. Like, if you meet someone and you feel like, well, yeah, but I don't think they're my soulmate, so I'm going to move on. Mm. Like, I don't think there's just one person, like you said, one person or two people, even three people that you're meant to have a connection and a relationship with, mm-hmm. as far as romantic. And then, you know, it's soulmate can actually be expanded out to, you know, your friends, coworkers, partnerships, like people who you really have good energy with, like you said, because I do use energy a lot now also.
Mm-hmm. It's rubbing off.
Yeah.
I have a friend who I was hooked up with. Someone told me, like, I have a class with this girl, and y'all are, like, the same person.
Yeah.
Like, y'all would be great friends. And I'm like, mm-hmm. whatever. And I met her, and we are literally, like, great friends. Like,
yeah.
We are, like, we get each other.
Yeah.
And it was, like that person picked up on my energy, her energy, and it's like, oh, yeah. My gosh, have you met her yet? Like, y'all need to connect.
Who, me? Have I met myself?
No, you haven't met her. But, you know, this is
Oh, it's
my,
not me.
No.
Oh.
But I didn't go to college with you. But,
oh, yeah.
I think sometimes, like, you know, those sort of things are meant to happen. And it was like, oh, my gosh, and we have this in common, mm-hmm. and I get this. It was like an instant connection.
Yeah.
I think in that sort of scenario, it's definitely like you can really connect with people in a deep sort of way,
mm-hmm.
and it not be romantic or abusive.
Right.
Because I think if, you know, your brain may be tricking you if someone's abusing you and you're like, this is my soulmate. You know, anybody who's connected to my energy in a good way would not abuse me.
Right.
I would not be abused by, you know, someone who's hooking up with me in a loving way.
Okay, so another thing they discussed was the way they interact and communicate with each other, and how they had to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, early on in their relationship, I think it was before they were married, because they got pregnant and then married, like, in a very short amount of time. So I think this mm-hmm. was before that. But he says how they were having a get-together and people were over, and she says, Will you just shut the F up, like, in front of everybody? And then he took a rolled up newspaper
and hit her in the head like a dog.
Bopped her in the head. It's like, can I talk to you for a second? So it's like told in a comical way. But then later on during the interview where he mentions how he came from an abusive household.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew that about him. But his dad was abusive to his mom. And so in that discussion following her, Jada cursing at him like that, he says, I saw that type of abuse, physical and verbal, at home, and I will not have that in my home, or in my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the way you want to talk, then, you know, we breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of interesting and contradictory just mm-hmm. because, you know, bopping somebody on the head with a newspaper is harmless, but it also mm-hmm. is a physical.
Abusive.
Yeah, it's also like a physical act that it sounds like he is very much against
mm-hmm.
because of how he grew up. So I'm like, well, it's just like how I tell people, you can't teach a kid not to hit by hitting them and say, don't hit your brother,
mm-hmm.
don't hit your sister while you're hitting them. Like, that's not the best way to teach that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same thing I feel like he did in that moment. And he says that after that, they didn't curse each other for years and years. And they didn't say anything about bopping each other on the head again. I don't know if that happened again. And I'm not saying that itself was like a very abusive act or anything. It's just that it was a physical thing that he did in response to her cursing at him. But then the conversation was, don't ever curse at me again. I can't have that. But you can't be bopping people on the head either.
Right.
To make that point.
Did you have a question?
Go ahead. You say something. Tell your thoughts, and then maybe I'll think of a question.
I definitely think that when you get into relationships with people, you have to negotiate your terms in those relationships. And so many times we get into relationships and we bring everything they know. They bring everything they know. And clearly this stuff has not worked out because we've met each other and it didn't work in our last relationship.
Right.
And we still try it again. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily learning from that stuff. So it's always a good idea to kind of... you know, think about how you want to communicate better and different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes different from your parents, sometimes different than how you've been in past relationships. And even sometimes just trying something new because you think it'll be better.
Right.
You have to be brave enough to start that from the beginning, because a lot of times we will just keep doing the same stuff and it doesn't work out. And then we'll do it with somebody else. And we're like, what is wrong with this person? Your communication style sucks. Yeah. It's nothing with the people. It's you. And then they bring they stuff. And, you know, so I think it definitely is a wonderful idea to talk about with your partner how you want to communicate, mm-hmm. whether that's, you know, we should, you know, talk about how we argue. We should talk about how we recover from arguments, which is so important. That's yeah. way more important than arguing. Right. But hey, you know, I talk to couples about that all the time. But yes. Recovery is like super important. So talking about, you know, just all of that stuff before you get to these points in your relationship, you should just have kind of a blueprint of how to handle this stuff.
Yeah, and so this incident was early in their relationship.
Correct.
And like they said, they did, you know, just like I guess all couples have to do, like right. what you said, establish your
boundaries. No, all couples don't have to do that.
All couples have to figure out if they're going to be together, they have to figure out how they're going to communicate.
People will be together and they don't figure out anything about communication.
Well, that's true.
Well, they should.
Okay, I'll say they should.
Ooh, judge it.
But they did take, he said, communication classes. Mm-hmm. They learned how to communicate with each other, that they need to take a break to calm down. And he said he learned, like, some kind of, like, statement that he would say, right now I'm not able to communicate with you in a loving way and keep my loving words and use, you know, so I need to step away so I can calm down. And, you know, they would let things out and then come back and communicate. So they did talk about the mm-hmm. learning how to communicate and how important that was for them.
Absolutely.
And they made some really good points that, like, when you are in an argument and you're using loud voices, you're using profanity, if you're calling each other's names, you're not actually discussing the thing that you need to be discussing. You're mm-hmm. actually, you're just fighting to be fighting.
Right.
And now you're mad about the argument that
happened.
You're
being non-productive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a pretty good point. And even though I say, you know, Will Smith, with that particular point was contradictory, that does not take away from my feelings about Will Smith. I love me some Will Smith. I have said that before.
Why are you? Okay.
I'm just saying, you know.
He's listening and you have to give his disclaimer.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I can be equally judgmental. No. I can see the good and the bad in anybody who I really like and care about, including Will
Smith. Okay. Will Smith, if you hear this, please forgive her.
I'm gonna tag him. Okay. So then another thing they talked about was how they had different views on their relationship, and that he felt like the public perception was important to him and how mm-hmm. they appeared. And he's like, we're winning. Like he said, in a 6-month time, they introduced Obama, who got it to getting his Nobel Peace Prize. Willow had the Whip My Hair song. Jaden had the Karate Kid. Jada was on Hawthorne. Like, he had a move. Like, they were crushing it and doing all these things to him. He's building a certain type of life for the family. And it just was not the life that she wanted at all. Mm-hmm. But she was just kind of rolling with it. And Jada was saying how she kind of rolled with it because it was fear out of his response, mm-hmm. Fear out of rocking the boat, mm-hmm. fear out of appearing ungrateful, because mm-hmm. they did have this great public life, you know, mm-hmm. trips and travel and his huge house and all that. And she was saying how she learned how to say the straw that broke the camel's back was her 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. And she learned how to tell him, like, all this stuff you did for you. You know, I didn't want the big birthday party. You did that. He said when she turned 37, he got a planning committee together to start planning her 40th and made a huge spectacle out of it and was just, like, knocked upside the head to hear her say, I didn't want any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It didn't make me happy. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that communication thing, as far as always working on your communication, was kind of lost there, because she had been saying, I don't want this, I don't want that, I didn't want this big house. Yeah, I kept telling you, we don't need this, and you kept doing it.
Yeah, but I wonder how she said it. I wonder if she was, like, passive in how she said it, if she was passive-aggressive in how, you know, it was delivered, or was she absolutely assertive, like, no, we're not moving into that house, we're fine living in this space, or no, I do not want you to throw me a party. Actually, I'm going to Toronto. You know, like, how assertive was she with saying these things? I wonder, because I do think that she was concerned about how he would receive those things.
Right.
And she thought that these things were important for her to be in a happy marriage when they were not.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There is this book called If You Are In My Office, It's Too Late. Mm-hmm. Or If You Are Reading This and In My Office, It's Too Late, or something like that. It's by this divorce attorney, and he talks about, you know, just people getting divorced and all of the things that he's seen. And he kind of takes a preventative approach. Like, if you could master all these reasons that I see people getting a divorce, you can save your marriage.
Okay.
One of the big things was they're not very transparent about what they think and feel about certain things happen. They're not transparent about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's because people don't
know. Right.
People don't know what they want. Mm-hmm. And once you figure it out, you know, it might be 5 years later, like, I didn't want this house, or I didn't want this thing. And that's fine, because you can change anything at any time. But I think that's the problem that we have, just rocking the boat. But hey, you know, I think it's better to rock a boat than to sink.
Oh, okay. That's a good use of metaphor.
I'm Lil Wayne with him.
But yeah, that's what she was saying. And then I think sometimes people, they feel like they should want certain things, because who wouldn't want these things, you know? And then not being able to understand within themselves why they don't want it, you know? So she's a different personality type than Will, it seems like. Like, he's all about, like he said, the public perception and, like, spectacle and big and showy and flashy and adventure. And as they talked about during the discussion, she's not. Like, she is more introspective. So the kid, Willow, was there during this talk. And she made the point of how Will is all about adventure and seeing the world, and the world being his home. And Jada is more about exploring her soul, and her soul, like, being worldly or something like that. So more introspective more introverted than extroverted. So that was interesting. And then another point, when Will and Jada were in the midst of their disagreements and their discussion, how they, Willow said, Daddy has a picture of his family in his mind, and it's not us. Because she could see that her parents were having some discord over how the family was and how the family was going to live. You know, Dad wants to travel around and do movies and take vacations, long vacations here, and Mom doesn't, and he wants his kids to be in the industry or whatever. So it just reminded me that, you know, these kids, they be watching.
They do be watching.
They be watching, paying attention. Okay, so one more thing I wanted to discuss about the Red Table Talks was the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So they both feel like divorce is not an option for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though they had this rift in their marriage, I guess about 10 years ago now, and they weren't communicating well, and she was like, I need to go off and find myself and do what I want to do, and they were coming to agreements, but they both felt like divorce is absolutely not an option. And she said, even if we break up, and I'm doing quotes for break up in our relationship, and I live at this end of the house, and he lives at that end of the house with somebody else, we're both in here together. And they did make the point about how they're not saying that divorce is wrong. You know, if it's necessary for some people, it definitely is necessary, but just not for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was his perspective the first time he was married. I'm absolutely not getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And even when his first wife, Cherie, tried to divorce him, and even though he knew he had these feelings and his connection with Jada, who he should probably be with, he still was not going to be divorced from Cherie.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
Like, taking divorce off the table?
Yes.
I think that's idealistic. I think that's, you know, that's great for them. However, I think for people who don't have wonderful communication skills, they may not have great introspection, or you're dealing with a petty partner. You can't necessarily achieve the Will and Jada goal. So divorce may need to be an option. You know, it really depends on your relationship. And it sounds like they both have that same philosophy. So in different relationships, different things will apply. It's certainly people who are together, and they may not even say, we're going to do this and you can live here. It's just like, we coexist because we're never getting a divorce.
Right.
They may not have these, you know, long thought out conversations about it, but it's happening.
Yeah, that's the why.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's happening. So, you know, I think if that's what you want to do in your relationship, then hey, do yeah. it if that's what yeah. works.
Yeah. And then they talked about having to basically tear down the old relationship to build up a new one, which meant seeing each other for who the other person really is, and get rid of the fantasies of being in a relationship and being married and being movie stars and everything. And I was reading in that, what's that book? I think it's one that you recommended at some point. I forgot the name of it, but yeah.
By who?
The psychologist couple who got the same name. Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were saying that a lot of people do, you have to confront the myths and the fantasies that you have about being married, including the person that you're wanting to marry, the fantasies about them, and you know, and then going back to Will and Jada, just wearing a mask. And then you love the person's mask, but you don't really get to know the real person. And how,
even the fantasies you have about yourself, like how yeah. you would be as a married person, like as a wife, I should do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And it could, you know, I think it gets in the way of you being able to be married in an authentic way and have mm-hmm. whatever, you know, norms that you want to have. I know, like me as a married person, like people are shocked that I don't cook, like when we have events at our house, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, your food was great, and I'm like, okay, I'll tell my husband. Like,
wait, you don't cook? No, I'm just kidding. I know.
I do cook. I cook a ton, but it's just like, I do. I cook like breakfast, I cook lunch, I cook.
But he makes the beans.
He makes beans, and he makes like, bomb, you know, like, beans. He makes like,
yeah,
holiday, all the food, you know, right. like all of that sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. I guess for people that's like non-traditional, but that's just what works.
Right.
Like, that's how it started. It's cool.
Because you can't make those beans.
I can't make them beans.
No. That's his gift.
That is his gift. But yeah, I just think it's different things. I mean, that's a small thing, but I think whatever yeah. those things are, you have to negotiate, like who cooks, who's the better cleaner. You know, I think a lot of stuff, if we just base stuff on ability, mm-hmm. we would have different types of relationships instead of gender role. Like men push the trash out. Well, girl, do you got some biceps? You might be the person to push that trash bin mm-hmm. out. You know, like yeah. it can be based on different things. And I think sometimes we get upset at other people for not subscribing to our idea of, well, husbands push they garbage bin out, or husbands make all the money, or husbands or whatever, yeah. like, or partner, like whatever those things are. We have all of these ideas, and it may not work for our relationship. And yeah. we have to acknowledge when those things aren't working so we can, you know, create the relationship that we want and not what everybody else has, what our parents had, what we saw on TV, but mm-hmm. what works for us.
And one final point that Jada did make about that, like their relationship is viewed as unconventional, but she says that she never saw herself as a wife mm-hmm. or being married. But she always knew she was a ride or die chick. Like, mm-hmm. it's, you know, as far as the loyalty and the love and being with somebody forever, she never saw herself as, you know, actually being married, because she didn't like the convention, like what's mm-hmm. the typically accepted conventions of marriage and being a wife meant. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Like, I mean, she kind of said it better than what I think I've really thought about it. But, I mean, I agree with that. And I mean, I'm not married. But married is not so much important to me. Like, I have a partner. And so I was like, that's an eloquent way of saying that, Jada. Like, I never envisioned myself as a wife in the way of
but
the
that's
convention.
Only if you agree to nothing is conventional. Like,
right.
you create all this
society,
stuff.
Yeah.
You create all this stuff, like whatever you want it to be. If you're like, you know, we're not doing this, or this is how we're mm-hmm. gonna, that's how you do it in your relationship, whether you call it a partnership, a marriage, or whatever you mm-hmm. wanna call it, you all talk about and define those roles. I think mm-hmm. what happens is people don't talk about this stuff.
They don't.
And they just get into, well, you should be cooking every night.
Right.
And you should be blah, blah. And it's like, whoa, where did this come from? Did I say I'm okay with that? You know, and I don't cook 3 meals a day, by the way, but I cook.
Okay.
I just wanted to clear that up. I don't want people to think.
Oh, did you say you cooked?
I did. I exaggerated.
No, we work and have, you know, jobs and businesses and interest. Okay, so listen, it sounds like you're getting into a pack light tip. So let's get into a pack light tip. We didn't actually even establish a topic or, you know, a focus more so than the subject, which is the Red Table Talks. But I guess a pack light tip for having a marriage or a relationship conventionally?
I would say talk about what you think marriage is, what it means to you, what roles should be. Should there be roles? Do you want more of an egalitarian household where people just kind of do social work work?
I'll say that sounds familiar. Egalitarian.
Egalitarian. It's kind of like, you know, where we both agree to do things and it's not necessarily gender based, which egalitarian relationships are shown to be more successful instead of having like identified roles. Because mm-hmm. I think now we live in this space where women work as much as right. or more than men sometimes. And mm-hmm. so when you have those traditional roles, it can be a lot on the relationship. And then you start to see issues like she doesn't want to have sex. She's always tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's burnt out because she's working 50 hours and she has to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Or flip-flop. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes women have certain expectations of men that just aren't achievable. Mm-hmm. So talking about these things, I think before you get into these situations, mm-hmm. I think it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, like, isn't that, well, you know, I think it could be some dating conversation. You know, I think we get really enamored with, I like him and he has soft skin and we don't have really. What? I'm sorry.
Who is?
I don't know. Maybe he has, whatever. Anyway.
He has soft skin. I mean, what, for a guy?
For a guy, yeah.
Really soft feet for a guy. This is meant to be.
Meant to be.
When those feet rub up against me up under the sheets.
Ain't no toenails
and they
or hangnails.
So soft.
Yeah. So I think is, you know, I think we get caught up in that piece of it. And I think a large part of getting to know people is showing them who you are and seeing how they respond to it.
Yeah.
Because there are certain things where it's like, you know, This is how I roll. Can you get with it? And these are the things I'm open to. Can you also get with those things? And if not, you can take your soft skin somewhere else. and somebody might like those things. So
okay,
definitely having those conversations up front, because we can really like people and yeah. we may not be meant to be in relationships with them,
mm-hmm.
at least long term.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said that. I just forgot what you said, but I like how you said...
you forgot what I said?
Yeah, no, I'm drawing a blank on trying to reflect. But as you said it just now, I'm like, yes, yes.
Okay.
So my pack light tip is pretty similar. The communication and talk, like, and they made the same point, Will and Jada did during the Red Table Talks, how, you know, part of intimacy is really knowing the person, not just the nice version of them or the forefront of them, and that's important. So, talking about and going by what's good, what you're good at, what your skills and abilities are versus mm-hmm. the gender roles, which I had gender roles down as a topic to discuss another time. But communication is very important to getting, and it sounds very cliche, but it's true, to getting to know the person who you are going to be with, and having those conversations early on is important also to figuring out and determining if this is a person that you want to continue to get to know more and more and be with.
Or even if you can meet their expectations.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, because they may have some expectations that you cannot meet. And it's okay to acknowledge those things early on and say, you know, hey, I really like you. Your hands are soft, but I'm not going to be able to get with this this other thing here.
Is that one of your expectations, soft skin and soft hands?
It's winter time right now, and I'm on the struggle bus with my dry skin. So all I can think about is skin right now. I'm just projecting soft skin onto everyone.
Well, Jada did make the point of you have to be the thing that you want. Yeah. So if you soft skin is important to you, make sure you keep moisturizing.
Right.
All right. Well, pack light.
Well, going on with us. Oh. So, okay. So right
plug
now.
Time.
Yeah. Plug. So right now I have a group going on called Growing Up Unwell, and it is for women who have childhood trauma, childhood issues, issues with their mother, their father, that sort of thing. And next year, I will be having another rendition of this group. This is a 6-session group, so it'll be done by the end of this year, but I will be bringing it back next year. Also, I have a planner, the Empowered Planner, that is a self-care-focused, guided-style planner with lots of quotes and spaces for you to just reflect and be present, those sorts of things. That is available on my website, NedraTawab.com. What else do I have going on? I have a very active Instagram page where I post a ton of mental health mental health related things. I keep a story going. I do polls. I try to be really active because I really connect to people. And so I like, you know, the energy on that is really good for me. So, So IG, I have a planner. I have a group. I have a group practice. I'm a therapist here in North Carolina. I have a group practice. So I have some other therapists in my practice. But yeah, that's everything that's going on with me. What's up with you, Kendra?
Nedra, did you say your Instagram name?
Oh, it's Nedra Tawab. It's Nedra Tawab. And my website is NedraTawab.com. I've simplified it. It used to be all this other stuff.
Right.
So everything is Nedra Tawab now. Just Google me.
Yeah, Google her.
Google me.
Yeah. And I am, I'm a speech language pathologist. I don't have my own business or my own practice. So what I do on my Instagram is just post communication tips and things as I think of them. And I am promoting my side hustle. My side hustle project is my wordplay crossword puzzle book. And that is in a different world, 90s hip hop and R&B edition, because those are all things I really enjoy. And I love trivia, and crossword puzzles are kind of like a good blending of trivia and self-care and mindfulness, because you can just kind of carry it around with you. It's small. Carry it around with you. Take it out at your desk when you need a break, need to decompress or whatever, and do some crossword puzzles, go down memory lane a little bit. Who didn't love A Different World? So that's my book. It is available on my website, which is www.kendratsays.com. And then my Instagram is kendrat.the.slp, speech language pathologist. And then my other Instagram for the book is wordplay crossword book. So I use both of those. And then we have our shared Instagram for Pack Light. It is at Pack Light Podcast. So those are all the places to find us and check in.
Pack Light.
Elevated elegance on another element. And she keep it genuine. Special dedication going out to my...